First of all, when I got up this morning, usually I wear a suit and a tie to honor the position and honor you and honor Pastor Joseph. And I started putting clothes on, and my wife said, "Robert, you're dressing in these clothes." I said, "I know, I had these planned for yesterday, for Angel Island. This was what I was going to wear to Angel Island." I said, "I had it planned, so I'm going to wear it anyway, because I would like to." I missed Angel Island, and it was amazing, because Pastor Joseph, I knew he was having family problems, and he probably wouldn't be there, so I was determined I was going to be there. I was going to looking forward to it, and then on Friday night, I got the sore throat after nursing my wife for a few days. When I prepare food for her, I just go out and get it and then bring it in. She's not eating. She wasn't eating when walking the dog. But I was asking Patrick, why don't you come up and give us... Pastor Patrick oversaw the congregation yesterday. He planned the whole trip, so I'm asking him to share a little bit.
Okay. Thank you. But yesterday is really a good success. I was worried a little bit before that. And I don't know what to do, because we have different type of groups. We have people who likes to bicycle, people who likes to walk around hiking a lot, and we have people that do not want to do that. We just want to take our time and walk, and then the kids that they like to do different things. So I was praying to God. I said, I don't know what to do. I want everybody to go to immigration stations, but people will be boring. People, different groups will have different purpose. So I said, you lead us what we want us to do. Lead us to enjoy what you create for us, so that we will appreciate you more, Lord. So it happens. So we have different groups. They decided that they can lead the different little groups to enjoy more about the Angel Islands. And we... nine people who want to leisurely take our time to the immigration station also have a very great time. So end up, it's very, very nice. Everybody was happy, and I have people told me that we should do that outing a lot more. They really enjoy it. And I asked them to pray a walk, because the college students, they like to hike a lot. So I said, if you hike everywhere, you decide to take a rest, do a prayer. And they said they do it. So I think they did that too. So I think that it's, overall, it's a very, very enjoyable trip, except that Maria's father tried to get the football, somebody throwing football in the area, picnic area, and he tried to push it away and fell down. So he hurt his head over here, and Cindy treated him, and then I think he's okay now. Thank you, Cindy. Yeah. So I think we can start thinking about maybe next outing. I think it's a very good thing that we can be together, all the whole church, young, old, Chinese speaking, English speaking. I think it's a very good thing that we enjoy all this, and I praise God that give us such a lovely day, a lovely time, and also the ferry. When we go to the ferry, I told them that we have a big group. I said that we have to get in that at 10 o'clock, and they cannot accommodate us because they have two boats. One is broken, so they have one and a half boats. But she promised me that she will give us as much ferry need as we can. So actually, the next small ferry that we arrive is almost just 5 minutes later. So it was good. And they apologized to us. They said, so sorry for your church, but we accommodate you. So it ended up very nice. Yeah. Thank you very much. And if you have any other outing things, let us know, and we can try again. Thank you. Thank you.
You know, I wondered, as I wrote a letter apologizing for not going, I was reminded of after World War II and the missionaries, the English-speaking or the European missionaries that came to China, they were asked to leave. And it's like people were saying, oh my God, they're leaving. All the leaders are leaving. What's going to happen to the church? And Elliot, you know what happened? The church multiplied. There might be more Christians in China now than there are in the United States. It's amazing. So I was wondering, without Pastor Joseph there, or without myself, what was going to happen? So I wanted to know, did anybody that went, did they have a testimony? Did anybody go to the immigration center and look around, and did it touch them in a certain way? Did you have any kind of feeling about it that you'd like to share? Okay, Luke.
I don't really have a testimony about anything specific, but I found it interesting that we sort of divided into groups sort of based on interest and social groups, and so I ended up with Sandy and Rogelio and Cindy and the kids, and you know, we had a really, really good time. So and we were we adopted a little Toby, and he came with us, you know, hanging around with his friends. And Sandy and her little boy was there, little Andy, he's like 2 years old. And the girls were really, really sweet, you know, playing with him and holding his hand. And so it was a really, really nice time, at least for our group. And Patrick's group, you know, they had kind of their own social group, and the college kids got together and did their own thing. And so I thought it really worked out really well, really well. So.
Thank you, Luke. That's a good testimony of how it should be, that everybody is able to find people they have in things they have in common with, and to be able to enjoy that. So before I get on there, I usually have a giveaway. And what I have here is this album called Preludes to Heaven by the Grapevine, celebrating 1999. And I'm not sure what the music is. Some of the titles, This Is My Act of Worship, Here I Am, Greater Grace, Hallelujah, Hosanna. There you go. Secondly, this book here, John Crowder wrote it. I happened to be at a wedding, and we sat at the same table, and I had a chance to meet him before he wrote this book. And Mystical Union, Stuff They Never Told You About the Finished Work of the Cross, and A Scandalous Message. And as I picked it up and I looked at it, I felt the Lord tell me to give it to one person based on a conversation we had before. So Irene, this is yours. It's going to answer questions. We had a discussion one time, and I think that'll answer a lot of the questions. And after you read it, you might want to pass it on. It's really good. Secondly, in an effort to get to know some of our youth better than just being the pastor standing up, Ricky said I could teach his class last Sunday. So our discussion we taught about was about the Bible. Why should we believe in the Bible? And we compared it with the Book of Mormon and the Koran. And we found out some facts about the Bible. I was going to ask some of the students if they remember this for extra credit. Extra credit, things we talked about. How many generations... No, we'll start out. On three continents the Bible was written. Does anybody name any of the three continents? Elliot? Yes, Africa, Asia, and Europe. Extra credit, right there. It was written in three languages. Anybody remember the languages? Toby? Yes, Aramaic, Arabic, yeah, same thing, okay. It was, give a hand, extra credit. You guys don't know, man, extra credit. When you're in my class, something's coming. So, how many writers? Do you remember that? How many writers wrote it? Over how many? What was the number? Over two. You got it. Yeah, how many? Over 40, right? Extra credit. Over 40. How many years was it written? How many years was it? This is the hard one. How many did you say? This is a hard one. It's between 1,000 and 1,500. Elliot. How many? What do you say? No, almost. 1,400 right back in the back row there. Amen. Amen. That's so good to remember these things. 40 different writers. Okay, and finally the last one. I think you had this one. In the book of John, the first verse, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Who was that? Jesus. Amen. Jesus. And that was going to be my teaching for this week, but I was getting ready because Jesus said it. Jesus was the Word. When Jesus says something, it takes place. And it said, in the beginning, the Word said, let there be light. Now, was there any doubt of there going to be any light or not? Any doubt? Jesus said, let there be light. And there was light. So anything we read in the Bible that Jesus says, and he says about us, is that promise is true to us. The promise, anything that Jesus says we can do, we can do. Anything that he says we can say, we can say. And it's funny how that's happened sometimes because... I had an incident one time. I was talking about this the other day, about the world. What's in the world? The world is basically toxic. There's jealousy, competition, lies, everything goes on in the world. That's what the world has to offer. And if you haven't got Jesus in your life, you can really become saturated by this. If you have Jesus in your life, you can become saturated with the world. You can, with the worries of the world and the heaviness of the world. But greater is he that lives in each one of us than he that's in the world. We have the power of Jesus Christ living in us. We can speak things. We can say things. And for some reason, it's more powerful than the doubt. So when you encourage somebody and you say something positive to them, that you can change their mind. You can change their name. That song that Irene led. I will change your name. Your name will no longer be. Do you remember the lyric?
Outcast, lonely, and afraid.
Yeah, wounded, outcast, lonely, and afraid. Now what is our new name? Yes, all those things. That is what we have in that. That's what we have in speaking our words to one another, is that we can encourage one another by the things that we say. And when we speak to the lost, I'm telling you, when you speak to the lost, they have no... They're so layered by all this negative talk that you go through stores or you go through and have somebody wait on you or something like that, and you look at them and you thank them and you tell them they did a good job, you can see the lights go on. Because it's Jesus within you speaking. And the power of your words, the power of the things that you say, are greater than all of these lies that they've heard. All these things that have got them around. They might be feeling really bad about themselves. The person before was telling them they couldn't find something in the store and they're blaming the clerk and stuff. They come by and wait on you and say, thank you, that was really a good job. You say to the pharmacist in there, thank you, that was really a good job. Thank you so much for providing those things for me. So it's the power of the word that we have. And I was going to talk more on that. I had my lesson, but then yesterday I just didn't do anything. So I found myself caught in the middle. But I was reminded of a story that I heard once when they talked about the immigration center. It was about a Chinese man. He was living in China. This was back in the 1800s. And he had a dream. And in his dream, he saw these golden hills. They were like gold. And he felt this voice says, I want you to go to the golden hills. I want you to go to the golden hills. And it was really real within him when he heard that. And he woke up and he told his father, he said, I had this dream last night. It was so real. I saw these golden hills. They were covered with gold. And this voice said, I want you to go there. So his father said, well, there's word they found gold in California, which is in America, and people are going over there to get that. Maybe that's where you're supposed to go. And his father was a man of means. His father had herbs and pharmaceuticals. And the boy had been raised in that as well. So he said, I have enough money to get you passage to go to California. So he comes to California, lands in San Francisco, and about this time, the authorities in San Francisco are just sort of fed up with all these Chinese people coming in. So they took him and they put him in the center over there. They put him in the center. And he would look, after he's got there, he was sort of surprised. They put him in there, and then he found out from some of the other people, what happens that you stay here, and if you haven't got a sponsor, you're going back to China. And he was thinking, oh my God, he didn't have a sponsor. He just wanted to come. And he says, I'm here. I made this long journey, and here I am. And they stuck him in the center. And the first morning he was there, he looked out the window. They had the bars in the window. And he looked out the window, and he could see the hills of the East Bay. And back in those days, golden poppies were prolific over here. The hills of California were covered with golden poppies before all the building. And he looked out there, and he says, that was the hills I saw in my dream. I saw those hills. I'm supposed to be here. Meanwhile, they're taking people out. And they don't take him out. They rode around, they said, okay, they call some names, they take him out, and they put him on the boat to go back. But for some reason, he found favor. So he was at the center. Months go by, and he's working, he's helping, he gets along well. He starts learning English from the guards, and he's a very bright guy. And then one day, they call him into the office. He says, oh my God, here I am going to send me back to China. And the officer said that he walked in, and there was a Chinese man standing there. And it says, this guy's name is Joseph. Joseph, we're going to let you go. You have a sponsor. And Joseph, he'd never seen this man before, and this man was his sponsor. And what he found out, so they took him, he got the paperwork and stuff, and he was so sure he was going to be sent back to China, but instead, he goes with this man, and the man takes him on the ferry, and they go over to San Francisco. And this man, Joseph finds out, was a man that his father had given him money to come to San Francisco. And the man was a pharmacist too, had all the herbs. And it was his father that was supplying him with all of the herbs that he needed. But when he came, it wasn't so strict. You were able to get in. So the father had notified him. He'd heard that his son was in the immigration center. So the father notified the man that he'd sent over previously, and the man was the one that signed for him, did all the paperwork, and was able to get him. And Joseph, and the funny thing about this story is that the man that brought him, that got him and sponsored him, was a member of the first Chinese Christian church in San Francisco. He was a Christian. So he took Joseph with him, and of course, he lived with the family, and they started taking him to church. And when he got into church, something happened, and he spoke within him. He knew the voice that he heard when they talked about Jesus. He knew the voice that he heard was that of the Holy Spirit when he heard about the Holy Spirit. That was the voice that said, I want you to come to America. I want you to come to these golden hills. And all of a sudden, it was just like a light went on within him. The light came and he knew he was supposed to do this. What was the purpose? He didn't know, but he was there. So he starts working with the man, with the herbs and the pharmacies. And he realizes he worked with them. He says, I know more than him. My father has taught me better. I know more than him. So little by little, as he made money, he made a thing to get his own shop. So he finally got his own shop. And he started growing because he was so good at it and getting the right herbs to supply people for their needs that he became very popular. Many of the Western doctors were seeking him out. And they said he became very wealthy. And he got married, had children, and that when Stanford was being, the University of Stanford was being founded by Mr. Stanford, that he was very influential in donating money with that. He was connected so well. And Right now, you never know. His descendants could be here. His descendants are walking around. It's almost like when I heard about going to the immigration center, how many people had to go back, but some stayed. And they made the way for the Chinese people that have come today. How many people here were born in China? Or Taiwan? Some other than the United States. Okay, pretty good. These people of 100 years ago that made this journey, they prepared the way for us. They prepared the way for the immigrants, and then they got in and they provided jobs. They made places for them so that when we arrived, we had a place to go to, and people were used to us. People, and I'm including myself as that. So that it was that part of the whole body of this thing happened, because the dream that God gave one man, God gave one man and he followed his dream. And the dream comes through the Holy Spirit. I'm going to read this. I very seldom read these things, but I'm going to read this. I read it this morning. And it's sort of a, I'll get it. Our trust must be in God. Okay. Thank you, my friend. We have such trust through Christ toward God. 2 Corinthians 3:4. We must get to a place where we are beyond trusting in ourselves. It is not bad to have self-confidence, but we must never rest upon anything in the human. The only sure place to rest is where you are trusting fully in God. In His name we go. In Him we trust. And God brings us the victory. When we do not trust in ourselves, but when our whole trust rests upon the authority of the mighty God, He has promised to be with us at all times, to make the path straight, and to make a way through all the mountains. Then we understand how it was that David could say, "Your gentleness has made me great." That's 2 Samuel 22:36. Ah, God is the lover of souls. We have no confidence in the flesh. Our confidence can only be placed in and rest upon the one who never fails. The one who knows the end from the beginning. The one who is able to come in at midnight hour as easily as at midday. In fact, God makes the night and the day alike to the person who rests completely in His will, with the knowledge that all things work together for good to those who love God, Romans 8:28, and to those who trust in Him, and we have such trust in Him. This is the worthy position. This is where God wants all souls to be. We would find that we would not run His errands and make mistakes. We would not be settling down in the wrong place. We would know that our lives were as surely in agreement with the thoughts of God as the leading of the children of Israel through the wilderness. And we would be able to say, "Not one good thing has the Lord withheld from me." That's Psalm 84:11. And all promises of God in Him are yes, and in Him amen, to the glory of God through us. 2 Corinthians 1:20. May the Lord help you to have less confidence in yourself and to trust wholly in Him. Bless His name. And the thought for the day is, there's so much failure and self-assurance. You know, as we were worshiping, I looked in and Walter's here, right? Walter, didn't you grow up in this church?
Oh, yeah.
Walter grew up in this church. And then the Lord took him away someplace. Took him away to Southern California, right? The wilderness of Southern California. I'm from Southern California. Who wants to go there? Send me to Africa. Don't send me to Southern California. But Walter went to, the Lord sent him to Southern California. And now he's coming back. He's returning to where he got his, where he grew, like these young men and women in this class, where he grew up, to bring the message of what God has done in his life and what He did with him down there. Praise God. And I'm looking at Kevin. Kevin playing the drums, just returned from China. He's a return missionary. He's a missionary. He went to China. to return to his homeland, but he's a different guy. He's a different, we used to say, he's a different cat than when he arrived here. Because he comes back, he's been in the family, he's been interacting in here, hearing the word of God, getting prayers, mixing with the college kids, people older than him, young adults, younger kids, being able to minister in that, learning how to play the drums. I mean, he's come back a different guy. He's gone there to tell him about what happened here and to share what happened in his life. And you never know the ears of the person sitting there. It might be some young man is sitting there not knowing what to do with his life, wondering where he's at, maybe feeling really depressed and lost about where he's at. And all of a sudden, Kevin starts talking about what happened to him. He starts talking about what happened to him at a church. Church, what is that? I heard about these little things. Who knows that this young man that was there specifically, Kevin was sent back to China to visit. He got a dream to go back to visit his family. The finances were there. Everything worked out perfectly because God had one person in mind back there, like he had with Joseph when he sent him here. Joseph the pharmacist, coming here, remaining here. He had every reason to be sent back, but God had a purpose for him. He found favor with the guards. He found favor when he was at the immigration station. Other people were getting returned to China. He stayed there until his father could arrange to have him bailed out and put into San Francisco. And then he became influential. He helped the city. His skills and his knowledge of the things that he had were able to save, to heal sick people. Maybe people that were going to die lived because of him. Maybe there was one person God says, I want this man to be healed. I know he's going to be sick because Satan's coming upon him. He might be a pastor or whatever it is. But there's only one person that can heal him. That's Joseph in China. I got to get Joseph from China to here to get him to get his father to minister. That's the way God works between us and around us and interacting with us, is that we are his vessels. We are the only thing that he has to work with. And sometimes we get in our self-assurance of things. What comes with self-confidence and the flesh comes the flip side of it, the fear of failing, the lack of confidence. So when you're in the flesh and you might say the wrong thing or do the wrong thing, then you feel like this shame come over you. Or it's, oh, why did I say that or why did I do that? But if you're in weakness like me right now, today, I didn't know what I was going to say at all, anything. And the Lord gave me that story while I was sitting there about Joseph. Because he speaks to us, his spirit speaks to us. I have to tell us that. Look at the kids here. Look how much more they know about the Bible. It was really good. I was so proud of them. Because we talked about it. The Book of Mormon was one man. One man got these golden tablets. And he copied everything down. Joseph Smith copied all these tablets down. And then they buried the golden tablets. You know something? They never found them. They looked for them. People came, miners, people wanting the gold, came. They were digging up. They dug up all that part of New York he lived in. I think it was around Elmira somewhere. They dug it all up trying to find the golden tablets. They never found it. Then Muhammad was in a cave and an angel was dictating him the Quran from heaven. It just coming. He just write it down and gave it. So you had one man, Joseph Smith, the Book of Mormon. You had Muhammad with the Quran. Okay, maybe you could say, yeah, one man, God, where is it? Well, the Quran's up in heaven, but they spoke it to Muhammad and he wrote it down. On the other hand, we were studying over 1,400 years, over 40 writers written on three different continents in three different languages. And we talked about that. How can this come together? How can this be put together? This should be confusing. Three different languages? Over 1,400 years, people living and dying and studying this stuff and say, this should be here, they're gone. Their grandchildren are gone. But God was in control, and he put it all together. That word of God is all together. It's all perfect. It all supports each other. And whatever it says, it's all true. And people say, no, science is proving the Bible wrong. As science more advances, they're starting to prove the Bible is right and is true. And the good news is, the Word, the living Word, he came to earth. He's not still in heaven. He came and lived among men. He took our presence upon himself. And then he took all of our sins, all of our wrongdoings, every mistake we ever made, he took it upon himself. And when he did that, people could arrest him. People could punish him. People could hate him. They could hate him because he was like man. He was the worst of men. And he endured the beating. And he endured the beating and the punishment because he knew what he was dying for. It's almost like when I was a kid, I remember I had to be in at a certain time. And I kept sort of like, had to be in at 10 o'clock. And I kept coming in at 10:30, quarter to 11. Finally, my mother said, Bobby, she called me Bobby. Bobby, if you're not in at 10 o'clock, I'm going to be grounded for the weekend. So I was out having a good time with my buddies. I knew I was going to be there to 10. And I said, I'm never going to make it. I'm having a good time. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to stay out. I stayed out to about midnight because I knew I was going to be grounded. So I got in, and my mom says, okay, you're 2 hours late. You're grounded for the weekend. So I was grounded for the weekend, but I knew it. So I could endure it. I could take it. Okay, I did the crime. It was worth it to me. I had 2 hours of punishment. I'll stay in the weekend. And except when I got in the weekend, it was hard because I was missing having fun, and I'm a guy that likes to have fun. But I knew that I deserved it. Now, if I got punished for something I didn't deserve, I'd be a different person. If somebody would say something about me that wasn't true, oh, I'd get really angry. So I think that if Jesus hadn't known what he was dying for, I don't know if he could have done it as a man. I think he had to know. And in knowing what he was being punished for and what he's dying for, he knew that for anybody that believed in him, that they would be set free. Because that's the whole promise, is it? And I think that's the part of speaking into people's lives, is I can speak into this man's life. I can look at you and say, young man, you got intelligent eyes and you have compassion. I can tell by, if I knew him better, you have a good heart, that you care about things. I can say that because the Lord told me that that's who you are. And I can speak it in you. If there's any doubt about that in your mind, any doubt, forget about it. Because the Lord knows who you are, and he has his hands upon you. That's just the way it works. And as we speak to one another, encourage one another in the truth, because we're speaking what the Word of God says. All the things that we say are all the promises of what the Lord says. He changes our name, right? What does he change our name from? Wounded to being healed, right? What's another one? Outcast to being in a family. Lonely to being, you get so busy, you say, I don't want the phone to ring anymore. People keep inviting me over, wanting to talk to me or have a good time. Or afraid. There's no fear. We have no fear in Christ Jesus. And Walter's going to bring that message when he speaks to the second congregation. He's bringing good news. We're all prepared to bring good news to encourage one another. Amen to that? Okay, everybody stand. Okay, the Lord wants me to release a blessing here. Father, we just praise your name. And the Lord says, I'm going to release the promise and the blessing of Joseph. Joseph from the Bible or Joseph from China, it doesn't make any difference. That you would give this vision to these people, Father, to my brothers and sisters. Give us a vision of a plan that you have for us that is something that we can do. Moreover, all we have to do, the Lord says, just hang on to me. Hang on to me and I'll lead you and I'll take you through. Hang on to me with your faith, trusting in my word, trusting that I can do all things through you, because I will strengthen you to do them. I will give you words of encouragement. I will give you prophetic words to edify, support, and encourage those. All that you meet, I will give you the words. I have given you the keys to the kingdom. The doors that you open will remain open, and the doors that you shut will be locked. So we speak to doubt. We speak to fear. We speak to loneliness. We speak to the outcast. Those doors are locked. And the doors are open to unity, to freedom, to faith, to love, to hope, to all good things are ours. And all the saints said, Amen. Amen. God bless you. Greet each other and encourage each other.